Praise the Lord. I'm sure glad to be back again. Appreciate him asking me to come. And I want to make mention of two or three things before I get, you know, attempting to preach here. There's a lady here somewhere. She was
a little higher, David Lee.
And I didn't get to talk to her. She's going to move to Dallas. She's wondering where some churches was down there, and she's still here. If she'll hunt me up. I've been so, you know, when you're going to go someplace with someone and you got to follow someone, you have to go then. And so I didn't get a chance to talk to her. And I got one address of that book somebody wanted, and I got that to that lady. I think it is her. And I asked somebody, she was praying, and I said, "Is that lady go to Brother Collins' church?" And they said yes, and I said, "Would you give this to her?" So I think I got that. And Brother Moore, he gave his away, I think, so I have to give him another one. But if you want to get this book, The Awful Disclosures of Maria Monk, which is in just what it says, against Catholicism, and really show you what they've always did, and of course still do. If you would ask them then if they do that, they said no. And if you would ask them now, they'd say no. But they do. I know you risk your life to say that. And she risked hers to write this book. And the man that's printing this book right now is risking his life. And but if you want to get that, you can get this tape, or you can come see me. If you can catch up with me, not that I'm all that important, but just things you know you're doing. Christian Truth and Victory Publications. Route 5, Box 252A. Christian Truth and Victory Publications. Route 5, Box 252A. Alexandria, Minnesota. Alexandria, Minnesota. Zip code 56308. Cost you about $8. And I don't care if it costs 25. Get it. I'd have given 25 for one before I found this one. Brother Sullivan found them. You couldn't get them for a long time. I mean a long time. I read one 30 years ago, I guess. And you hardly ever even heard of it. There's another book called Convent Horror. H-O-R-R-O-R. Convent Horror. Horror. It's written by a lady named Barbara Erbick. I don't know just how to spell it. Probably a Polish or Swedish name. Might be Italian. Barbara Erbick, if you can ever find it. Very enlightening book. Then, Father Shinnequy, who's a former Catholic. He used to be a priest. And the name of that book, I think, is 50 Years in the Church of Rome. And we're not specializing to go around fighting Catholicism. But bad is bad, no matter what it is. So if you are a Catholic or a former Catholic, you understand. And if you are a Catholic, you don't think these things are true. And this fella's telephone number is on over in a few pages. I didn't know that. Here it is. It's 612 is area code 846-0835. Anybody want that to fail to get it? Put your hand up and I'll say it again. I don't see any hands. Okay. Phone number is 612-846-0835. Anybody fail to get that and wants it, I'll read it again. I want you to get this book. I want you to let your children read this book. If you know anybody getting ready to go into a nunnery, let them read this book. I heard an ex-nun talk. Maria got out. It'll surprise you. I heard an ex-nun talk. And then what's that lady's name? Have you read that, Brother Mike? That Sister Charlotte, wasn't it? Sister Charlotte.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to hear that, if you don't, write me sometime, and I've got a copy of that. I can send you one. And Sister Charlotte, she's an ex-Catholic. And she escaped. And this lady escaped, and another lady escaped, and I heard her. And she said, we go into the convents and the nunnery, thoroughly convinced that we're going in there to get close to God. But when we get in there, we find out why we're in there. They're so shrewd, they build walls, they build pits, they throw babies into them, have done it by the thousands. Don't say it's not so. They fight abortion, kill people all the time. You don't ever want to go by what people say. You go by what they are.
Right.
If it wasn't so, they'd open up every convent and nunnery in the country and say, come in here and inspect this place. Come in here and look at it. They build walls, and on one side, they educate school teachers. They never harm them. On the other side, the nuns are nothing but prostitutes. But they don't even get paid. Okay, so much for that awful truth. I want to, if that lady's here from Dallas, please come. Honey, where's my wife? Stand up back there, please. I want this lady to look closer. That's my wife. And if you can't find me, we'll find her. And then she'll send word to me and we'll talk to you. She wants to know where John David Long's church is at, and the church at Keller, and the other church in that she moves close to. She's moving down that way. All right. She called me on the phone 2 or 3 times, and I said, I'm going to be at Richland. She said, I'll come. I want to preach today, and I really need prayer. I need prayer every time I preach. And you don't know what it does to me to have such a terrible responsibility as this. You just don't know what it does to me. If you think that I think I'm something, then your thinking is awry. It's really messed up. You're not thinking right if you think that I think I'm something. Can't you tell I'm under strain? Pray for them, will you? In John, St. John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. You didn't know Jesus made the world, did you? But He did. Amen. Sure He did. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Drop on down. Verse 11, He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Do you hear that? Even to them that believe on Him, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the preexistent Word, God's Son. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then, in John 8, I think it's in John 8, and verse 12, Jesus said again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's really a good idea to read the Gospels a whole lot. If you want to get acquainted with Jesus, before you go into the deeper things of the preaching of the New Testament, be sure and specialize in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sidlow Baxter was told one time by G. Campbell Morgan. He said, Baxter, first church I took as a pastor, I never read anything for the first 2 years I was there but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over. It makes me appreciate people more to know something about them. And the reason, when you read G. Campbell Morgan's books, I have some. I would not say that he's absolutely my favorite, but he's a very good writer. I don't really know who my favorite is. I get carried away with one and another, and I guess you're the same way. I can name some, but no use. But Morgan said to him that he read it over and over and over and over. And it really is an introduction into Jesus to read those Gospels. And Morgan, the reason he is such a writer, he never would write on any book in the Bible. He wrote a lot about the books in the Bible. And he wouldn't write about any book in the Bible until he had read it through 50 times. So you can see why he knows a little more about it than we do. I don't want to say it in a scolding manner, because I don't mean it in a scolding manner, but we're awful bad to skin them. If you're not careful being a preacher, you just study the Bible to get a message. I've done the same thing. But older you get, the more you just want to read it and read it and read it. Do you understand what I mean? There's been people read the Bible through 100 times. I don't know how many times I've read. I don't even know that I've ever sat down and read the Bible completely through. I stay so busy trying to find something to preach, but I've got to worry more that I just read it a whole lot and then study too. My mom read the Bible through. I don't know how many times. I think Granny Smith said one time. Do you hear me, Sister Smith? Brother Joe Bill, she's right there by you. Hear me? How many times do you say you'd read the Bible through? 67 times when she gets through, and she's in the book of Peter now. Ain't gonna have to go to work, girls. Catch up to that. Amen. Sisters, that is. God bless you. Ma'am? 67 years. 65 years of Holy Ghost. It's getting right on up there. Be 90 this month. God bless Sister Smith. Oldest woman I ever met was 114 when I met her. She lived to be 115. She had the Holy Ghost 104 years. Pretty good. Pretty good. Got to work at that, sister, to ever catch up with that. Anyway. Praise God. And do you good. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 21, the man be crazy to talk like this if he didn't know who he was. Yeah, he would. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? Strange how carnal people misunderstand things. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of the world, I am not of this world. And he's the only human ever lived, not just human, but the only human, flesh human that ever lived, that could really, really say, I am not of this world. That's right. We're not dealing with just some mere person. There's a word called philanthropy, and it makes Jesus just a mere man. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus is not just a mere man. I have in my notes here, Napoleon. And Napoleon was not a believer in the sense that you are. Sometimes worldly people see things. Napoleon said to Count Montalban, "I think I understand somewhat of men. I understand somewhat of human nature, and I tell you all these," talking about heroes of time past, "were men. And I am a man. But not one is like him." Jesus Christ was more than a man. I would to God we could get in our holiness heads, in our full gospel heads that we claim. I wish we could get it in our mind that we're not just dealing with some mere person. I mean, really get it in there. Renan, the French infidel, said, "I cannot resist Jesus Christ." He didn't even believe in him, but he said, "I cannot resist Jesus Christ." Robert Ingersoll, a noted infidel, who'd done the cause of Christ a lot of harm and really regretted it, and finally admitted he did it for money, all his writings, said, "If Jesus Christ were here and alive today, I'd pay him homage." H.G. Wells, that wrote The Outline of History, said, "Jesus Christ is the greatest man in history." Where a lot of people, they finally, you know, each year, they delete in some of the encyclopedias. They delete and take out as much as they can, and sometimes completely delete the whole person. People might be the who's who today, but they finally fade away. And people that you'd have to go clear back in history to find some of the who's who. But they never do quit talking about Jesus. I don't know how many words in there, but I've heard there's 20,000 words in the Encyclopedia about Jesus, in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Well, does that tell you anything or not? "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." He said it in verse 21. "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Jesus said, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." There are people by the thousands, even by the millions, it wouldn't do you one bit of good to trust in them. There's not anything that they could do for you. There's only one person that can do anything for you, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only person that can do anything for you. Therefore, we ought to go to him. "No time for God," one poet said. "What fools we are to clutter up all our lives with common things and leave without heart's gate the Lord of life itself." No time for God? As soon to say no time to eat or sleep or love or die. Take time for God, or you shall dwarf your soul, and when the angel of death comes knocking at your door, a poor misshapen thing you will be to step into eternity. No time for God? Someday you will lay aside this mortal self and make your way to worlds unknown. And when you meet him face to face, should he have time for you? People have got so much time for nonsense and foolishness, things like that, but claim to have no time for God. I even heard about a guy said, I'll go to church when I get straightened out. And he did. He was completely straight whenever he went. Yes, sir. D. James Kennedy wrote, here's one thing that gets in people's way about serving God. You wonder why we say what we do. Dr. D. James Kennedy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, said, a sad choice. He read this on his program. On the table, side by side, the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well worn but cherished with pride, not the Bible, but the TV guide. Probably if you had the first TV guide ever printed, you could probably get several thousand dollars for it. That's how crazy people are. One is used daily to help folks decide. No, it isn't the Bible, it's the TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Listen, this Presbyterian preacher, 11 years of higher education. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, not in the Bible. It's a TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse, ere they fall in bed. Exhausted and sleepy, tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but watching TV. So then back to the table, side by side, it's the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan for salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sin so full and free. It's found in the Bible, not on the TV. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Come on now, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Let me be nervous. Don't you get nervous. Let me be nervous, will you? Now, when I get calmed down, we'll both be equal. Amen. Well, what I'm trying to get to, really what I'm trying to get to, I want to read this a little bit more before I get to it. And it's in Hebrews, I believe it's in Hebrews 2. Seemed like it's in Hebrews 2, yes. Hebrews 2 and 12, 11, for both he, let me read 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, or behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. That behold mean it was necessary, and it was the right thing to do. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, which means to deliver them or turn to them in their cry of danger and bring them deliverance or bring them aid. Now, what I want to preach about today is things have never been the same since Jesus came. Very simple text, not over anybody's head at all. Things have never been the same since Jesus came. You remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, which caused all this trouble. And there's no use in anybody blaming them all the time and saying, well, I got it from Adam, when really you took it up from him. And you don't have to be so naive as to keep it. So don't be blaming Adam. And the way you are and the way I am, if he hadn't have done it, we would have. Oh, yeah. Don't strut. No. Don't be peacocky. Because if he hadn't have and she hadn't have, we would have. You don't get any place by blaming other people when you're trouble. It's not so bad to fall if you just, but when you're not much hope for recovery if you're always saying somebody push me. You can't hardly make it like that. If you're going to get out of sin, you're going to have to be the one to make a move. God's done made his. Come on now and pray. It's going to liven up here for long. This takes me time to get started. I'm a slow starter. Always have been. Wife's tried to break me for 44 years. Always saying hurry. Me during there just going fast as I can go. Shining my shoes this morning and said, we got to go. We got to go. We got to hurry now. Shining my shoes, getting ready to come. Fast as I could. Burning, slanging gravel. And her saying, let's hurry. I told her if I was a dying, you'd say, I wish you'd quit dragging around and get this over with. That's the way she is. No joke. That's the way she is. Trying to kill me. Always been like that. Even when I had that heart operation and everything. He said, now, and all that time I couldn't hardly go. I couldn't hardly move. And I'm not running her down. I wouldn't take $1 million for her. 10 million. The whole world. I wouldn't trade my wife for the entire globe. I mean it. She's been better than me and anybody could ever possibly. There ain't nobody. Callie is absolutely irreplaceable. It cannot be done. Now, Cox. Well, I'm just talking to you, you know, telling you how I feel. Anyway, after the operation and everything, and they told what was the matter, and some of the people I always thought of putting on all those years, when I couldn't hardly go, I went when I went to sleep three times before I got home. And never even got to the house. Just fell over the seat and went to sleep in the churchyard. He said, you've had this all your life. And my wife said, I hate it that I tried to rush him all that time, but said, I don't hate it a whole lot. She's got a mean streak in her. So she just keeps it hid. Takes it out on me. Anyways. I know she'd like to crown me, not king, but crown me with a rolling pin right now. But anyway. Amen. They asked one old woman been married 60 years. Said, you ever think about divorce? Said, no, I thought about murder several times, but never did think about divorce. Woo! Shout, Callie, shout. Praise God. Anyway. Hallelujah. Way back. Clear. Way back yonder. I don't know how long after the beginning, but in the beginning of man. And that's probably be best to start there. You know, sometimes people say, when did things begin? Well, it'd be better to start at that. since it's hard to imagine what happened before that. Kind of overhead, isn't it? What happened before the beginning? Fussing around about pre-Adamites, and I don't know. I don't care. I'm interested in this Adam's offspring. I mean, I'm not worried about where I come from necessarily. I'm worried about where I'm going. Oh, I've got this feeling. I've got this feeling. Praise God. That we're heading for another world because I read it in the book. God could have kept it hid. But he opened up. In the Old Testament, we got types and mysteries. And I never will know. I don't guess what Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel meant. I don't guess I'll ever understand all that. I don't have to. Do you understand it? Might have some deepies with us today, but I don't understand that. Way back there, all down through the years, and all this blood sacrifice, and from Adam's sacrifice, and from God's sacrifice of slaying animals for skins for Adam and Eve to wear when they seen, probably used to be clothed with light. Don't think of streakers like you do in this dumb age today when people haven't got sense enough. And by the way, women are going to put on a drive not to wear nothing from the waist up. They're getting ready to do it. They're doing it now. In California on the weekend during the summertime, from the Mexican border to the Oregon line, over 1,000 miles, 100,000 people on the weekend don't wear nothing. Say, you're joking. No, I'm not joking. Adam and Eve were probably clothed with light. Yes, sir. And when God's light, which was his presence, and when it said he came in the cool of the day, does not mean he had to make some long journey. God can be here and there at the same time. Oh, yeah. Don't ever try to figure out God. They can't even figure out the honeybee. Drive you crazy. Try to figure out the honeybee. From that sacrifice of killing those animals, and they related to Cain and Abel, and from Abel's first lamb, took a rough stone knife probably and beat its throat open and slew it and offered it to God. And all these types and shadows. And when people made journeys to the temple and bought the turtle doves and pigeons and animals and sheep and oxen slain by the multiplied thousands and probably even millions, it's all working up to something. Do you hear me? I said it's all working up to something. And all the Old Testament and all these things that are said and these types and these shadows and these mysterious things are all coming down to one day. Amen. Do you hear me? In the drama of redemption, there's a lot of things that you have to read, and you can't understand the Old Testament without the New. So imagine what it was before they got the New. Don't forget, from Matthew on, we didn't even used to have it. Right? Have it. Right. I read about some fellow in a heathen country in a bazaar somewhere, like a flea market, found a book, and he read it, and he was so fascinated with it. It got to him, Brother Bill White. It got to him, and he began to tell the people around, and they said, hey, somebody, he got in contact with somebody and they said, hey, you just got part of it. What? I just got part of it. You mean there's more? A heathen. In a foreign country, back when heathens were more illiterate than they are now, before all the travel and printing and everything. And he said, you mean there's more? Yes, there's more. Where'd you get it? Well, I got it in this town. And it was 25 miles. No car, poor man, nothing but walk. And they said to him, there's a second part to that. There is. Yeah. And you got it there at that town? Yes, I got it. Maybe you could find the other half. He said, I'd like to have the other half. And said, took off walking 25 miles. 25, 50 mile round trip. Went there. Bless God. Let me tell you something. It's worth walking 25 miles for. Jesus walked 2,500 miles before he was crucified. They figured it out one time. He walked on foot about 2,500 miles. Came into this world, all these types and shadows and prophecies, and one day, down through time as the centuries dragged by, slow-footed centuries dragged by, one day there was a blessed woman. They've made an idol out of her now, but she's a blessed woman. Yeah, Maria Monk can tell you how they feel. Mariolatry, worshiping Mary, even the Assumption dogma that says that Mary went up to heaven. Mary died just like everybody else. Yes, sir, Mary was Jesus' mama, but she had other children too. Jesus had some half-brothers that didn't believe on him until after the resurrection. There was a little girl, young girl, never been married, never knew a man, pure as the virgin snow. And an angel came to her and told her, you're going to conceive. You're going to conceive and bear a child. And you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Pray now. You hear what I said? I'm preaching on it's never been the same since Jesus came. And it hasn't. Hallelujah. If you can't get that, the brethren sometime want to know what you're going to preach about. And I'm sorry I haven't been telling them. I didn't hardly know just what text to give them. But you can cut that down. Just say, not the same since Jesus. Get it, cut it down however you want. I'll let you decide that since you're in charge. And she said, how can these things be? Seeing I know not a man. I'm not even married. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that don't believe. I don't know if I've got it with me or not. I think I seem like I've stuck that thing in this stuff. I don't have to read it to you, but I'd kind of like to. Right here. In case this is the sad statistics, a poll of Protestant clergymen conducted by sociologist Jeffrey Hayden revealed the following: 10,000 clergymen, of whom 7,441 replied, out of 10,000 preachers, 741 of them wrote back in, and here was the questionnaire. In case you think I'm, kind of off track here and on a cold trail. When asked if they accepted Jesus' physical resurrection as a fact, Methodists, 51% said no. No wonder Wesley had turned over in his grave if it was possible. No wonder Wesley was right when he said, I have no fear there'll never be a time when there won't be a people called Methodists, but my fear is that they'll lose the power of God. Don't let these sad facts bore you. 35% of the United Presbyterians said no, asking if they believed in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Presbyterians said no. 30% of Episcopalians said no. 31% American Baptists said no. You wonder why they're about to have a split. I wish they'd go ahead and have it. You say, my. I said I wish they'd go ahead and have it. There's a time that we need a split. Some people preach against splits. I preach against splits when there's no need to split. But I think some splits are the best thing ever hit the world. Amen. Jesus said, I come to cause trouble. I come to cause a sword. I never come to send peace. You said, I thought he was a prince of peace. Depends on which side you're on. 13% American Lutherans said no. 7% of the Missouri Synod Lutherans said no. When asked if they believed in the virgin birth of Jesus, 60% Methodists, no. 44% Episcopalians, no. 49% Presbyterians, no. 34% Baptists, no. When asked if they believed in demon power in the world today, evil demon power. Methodists, no, 62%. Episcopalians, no, 37%. 47% Presbyterians, no, 33% Baptists, no, 14% American Lutherans, no, 9% Missouri Synod Lutherans said no. I don't know why they all got them in there in that special tongue twister there, but they have. When asked if they believe the scriptures are inspired and inerrant word of God in faith, history, and secular matters, 87% of the Methodists said, no, we don't. Episcopalians, no. 82% Presbyterians, no. 67% American Baptists, no. 77% of the American Lutherans, no. 24% of the Missouri Synod said no. And this guy wrote, this guy put a note there. Said, I wonder, and I don't want to hurt you. He said, I wonder. This man said, I wonder. Left a note here. I wonder what the results would be among Nazarenes, Christian and Missionary Alliance. You know, please don't think I'm a know-it-all. Don't you think it. Don't think that I'm a troublemaker, a smart aleck, thinking something that I shouldn't. I wonder what the results would be. You know, the Nazarene said, we've learned better than what Uncle Bud taught. Christian and Missionary Alliance and Evangelical Free and Assembly of God. He said, I wonder what they're thinking by now. Okay. I'll be here. I'm not going home till I'm not leaving. If you want to fuss at me, I'll be right here. I said, I'll be right here. I might be nervous from such responsibility, but I ain't afraid of you. Amen. You mean I'm going to have a baby? I'm not married. And that wasn't in the days. That wasn't in the days like we've got now. I'm going to have a baby, and it's going to be named. I'm going to name it Jesus. And it's going to be God with us, me, yes, you. Greatest thing ever hit the world. There has never, ever, ever, ever been anything like this. I'm telling you now. There has never, never, never. He broke every record what is here. And you know that happened? And you know they would have stoned her for fornication, and the priest was the one to get it done, and Zechariah was the priest, and she went straight and told her cousin Elizabeth, and she went straight and told Zechariah, and you know they didn't do a thing to her. They're so happy about that. John the Baptist, bless God, went to kicking in 6 months in the womb.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm sanctified, second death and work, and that's all. I ain't got no time to fuss with you about that. But if you're real fussy, I know you ain't got it. Oh, man, don't quit me now. Come here. Talk about sanctified. John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost before he was ever born.
Amen.
Now, I mean, that's a man, according to Jewish custom, went with him to the temple. They left him up there. Thought he was with some of the other relatives, and they traveled in, you know, 10 folks all traveled kind of together. I used to take the Parks boys home. They'd think they was in one car, and they wouldn't. They'd be in there on a church bench asleep, and they'd call the house and say, Brother Cox, is Raleigh over there? And I'd go over there and have to rouse Raleigh up, and no wow looking, and where am I at? And I'd say, get in the car, I'll take you home. So they thought, and they said, they thought Jesus was with the rest of them, and he went back, and in a 3 days journey, made it 3 days, and he went back, and said, "We sought thee sorrowing. What do you mean, son?" And you know what he's doing? He's in there confounding, dumbfounding, confusing the doctors of the law. You'd ever seen Jews twist their hands and say, "I've never seen such a kid in my whole life," as he was that day. Amen. That's right. Praise God. And the black folks made up a song. Time Jesus got through with them, I'm telling you, and they came after him there. And he said, "Wist ye not?" What do you mean you sought me sorrowing? "Wist ye not" is an old word for "no." Don't you know? Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business? No record. No record of Joseph ever calling him his boy no more. Amen. That's right. Praise God. I want to tell you something, brother. And the black folks made up a song. He astonished them so much. And they sang, "Little boy, how old are you?" "Oh, little boy, how old are you?" "Sir, I'm only 12 years old." And the doctors all stood and wondered, like they had been struck by some kind of thunder, when they seen they must all come under. "That little boy, that's only 12 years old. Hallelujah." Let me tell you something, brother. Glory be to God. Have you ever heard of a 12-year-old God? Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of a 12-year-old God? I'm a tell you, man, we got one on our hands. And things ain't never going to be the same again. It's going to stay calm for a while. Amen. I said it's going to stay calm for a while. But by the time I go out of here, I'm going to shake this country. Amen. Left there and you don't hear nothing about him. For 18 years. You know what he's doing? He's working. He's making the man. He's going to the synagogue on every Sabbath day. He's a worshiper of Jehovah. He's a growing in stature and favor with God his Father and with man. That's what he's doing. You know, if you want to be like Jesus, young fellas, be sure that you learn how to work. We got an entire generation of wimps. Amen. It's the one they don't hit me with their purse. I'm telling you right now, bless God, get your pantyhose off and let's be men. What do you say? Hallelujah. Come on, man. Don't come out here in a pair of high heels and curls and braids and telling me that you got Jesus in your heart. I'm not saying you can't have him in your heart. Amen. But bless God, stand up and be somebody. Got a boy at home, used to come there to church, and now he's about 25, I guess. Wouldn't you say, hon? Maybe 25. Anyway, somewhere up there. And he's finally admitted, I heard, that he's now a homosexual. And said, "I'm going to come out with it." You know, the gays and the devil and the lesbians and the queers and the abortionists and every hellish thing. And they don't want us to say anything. And most of the time, we ain't got the guts to say anything. Don't rock the boat. Don't make no waves, man. Don't never say nothing about anybody else's religion. And said, now he's finally admitted that he's a gay. He's not a gay. He's a queer. Great God, I never seen a happy queer in my life. Let me tell you something. A brother, sister, amen, Jesus was a man. Don't never, I hate these pictures. I literally hate them. It's a bunch of perverted artists that ever got the stupid stuff started in the first place. My Jesus was a hoss. You hear me? I said, my Jesus was a hoss. Yes. Hallelujah. He pulled that plane across that board. He run that sanding block. He made the yoke for the oxen. Don't get worried. Amen. That's just a minor slip up. Let me tell you something, brother. Bless God. My Jesus was a hoss. You hear me? He wasn't some long-haired, stringy, beatnik. Bless God. Come out in high heels. Amen. Can't you just see John the Baptist and Elijah coming out in high heels? Amen. Saying, I've got Jesus in my heart. Glory be to God. I will tell you, man, I said Jesus was a hoss. Amen. He went in that temple there one day, and he seen them disgracing the house of God. He platted him some cords, got a hold of money changer's table, turned them clear over, flung the coins all over the floor, turned the pigeons loose, looked them in the face, scared the daylights out of them, and said, "You bunch of thieves." He done it twice. I said he did it twice. And they wasn't there when you got him stirred up. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't try to talk like a woman. He didn't try to act like a woman. He was a man. I'm telling you, my Jesus was a man. Amen. I get so sick and tired of this nonsense. Got these pictures of Jesus on the wall. I'm not saying you're going to hell for it. You're just acting silly. I used to have one in my house. And we had one in the church. And I finally got the dumb thing off the wall. A lot of these artists wasn't nothing but queers anyway. That's all they wear. That's all they wear is a bunch of queers. And this poor, stupid soul finally admitted that he's a gay, and we thought it all the time. But now he says, "I can speak in tongues anytime I want to." Well, get to hell and speak in tongues there. When you go to hell, speak in tongues in front of the devil and see how much good it'll do you. Ain't going to be no pervert. There's not going to be one lesbian unless you get saved. There'll not be one pervert in the kingdom of God. And the reason that they'll not be is because they're not in it now. Give me a little more volume there, brother. Just a little bit there, please. Thank you. Amen. I don't believe in causing trouble unless it needs to be caused. Amen. I never was very tough, but there used to be a boy whip me plumb up through the fifth grade. When he wanted to do a little spar and use somebody for a punching bag, he got me. Amen. My brother went in one day and we had to schedule fight the next morning. He said, "I whipped you before and I can do it again." My brother said, "Dutch, I'm going to show you how to fight." He said, "Hit him. Be sure that you hit him. Get your head up and hit him. Aim at him, man. Aim at him." Hallelujah. So the next morning he got off the school bus. I was waiting on him. Yeah. I used to be scared. But my elder brother got talking to me and taught me how to do it. I never was tough, Lester. Don't misunderstand me now. Amen. But my brother said, "Hold your head up and hit him." And old Dubby and old Dutch is getting there to tangle up. And he got off the bus, and I said, "We had a fight fixed up for this morning." He said, "I whipped you a minute of time, and I can do it again." I said, "Let's see." And we went outside. He never whipped me. Oh, no. He never whipped me. He never did want to fight me no more. After my elder brother taught me how to fight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. I've even learned a few new things since then. I know where to kick. I know how hard to kick. I know how often to kick. Amen. I don't want to say the rest of it. You might think I'm mean. But I'm not. I'm really not. I don't nobody making no punching bag out of me. You say you got the wrong spirit. No, I ain't. No, I ain't. I said my Jesus was a hoss. I've had my last fight, as far as I'm concerned. Don't ever plan to have another. But I want to tell you something. Jesus was not a sissy. He was not a wimp. He wasn't a milksop. Bless God. I mean, he was a man. And you boys, let me tell you something, you boys. Now, please don't let me hurt you. If you went straight out of school and went to preaching and got by, that's good. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not trying to be mean. I know this is a different day. But let me tell you something. If you don't know how to cut the lawn, and you don't know how to mop the floor, and you don't know how to wash a car, We got some preachers preaching, don't do any kind of manual labor. You are a preacher, and you are special. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, don't never do anything. If you're so stinking lazy and low down worthless, bless God that you can't cut the grass, you need to pray through. It'd be good for you if you'd take up welding or something for 2 or 3 years and get in a church somewhere and help the pastor, so whenever it comes time for you to go out, you'll not have all the answers. You know, some people have got all the answers. One little preacher told George Davis, said, I'll tell you something. If I was a pastor in this church, things would be different. And old George shook his bulldog jaws and said, no doubt they would. Amen. Yeah, you may know how to do it, but you don't know how to do it until you've helped the pastor do it for a while. I'm kind of getting skittish. I don't have a church now. I don't plan to ever have another. But I get kind of skittish of people that wants to come in and immediately tell you everything to do. I appreciate people that work. Yes, I do. I'm not criticizing anybody for working. But let the pastor alone. Shut up and let the pastor alone. My. Anybody work like Sister Doris Horton? Get up early and come in late? I've not been coming to every 8 o'clock service. I had to dig. I was way behind. Now, I've been having to dig. It's hard to dig, amen, and get anything when you're having to preach every morning. I'm not counting it as something super or anything like that, but I just couldn't do it this year. I can't do what I used to do. I can't stay up all night like I used to. I just can't do it. Amen. I know how it feels to work and preach too. In case you didn't know it, Jesus worked 6 times longer than he preached. He preached for 3 years and he worked 18. And you ain't going to be a man I admire. Young fellas like Randy Perry take a church working like he does. Come in. I've come in. I preached when I was a weak. I couldn't hardly stand up. Anybody run Ralph Horton, Brother Ralph Horton, and Sister Doris Horton down? Don't you ever do it to me. I might not say one word, but you don't know it, but you're marking yourself when you start it. And I'll tell you something else while I'm at it, too. And I'm not after the women. I got the greatest admiration for women. And you know I have. You know I have. But I ain't never, if I can recall it, I ain't never yet ever seen church trouble but what there's a woman at the bottom of it. Now, if you know of any, you say, well, Now, Brother Cox. I'm trying my best to imagine what you might say, and I can't get nothing. You might say, well, Sister Throckmorton didn't start that. Well, I know maybe she didn't start it. But they got such charm and such dignity and such poise and such subtle craft and such low-down meanness about them. just a joke, Dad, just a joke. Anyway, that they could have stopped him and cooled him off if they had any sense. So? At the bottom of it is Jezebel. Boy, I mean I pulled somebody's chain on that, didn't I? I didn't mean now to shoot you from out of the saddle there. But if you can think of any trouble, serious church trouble, I've never had none that I know of if there wasn't a woman at the bottom of it. Preachers, are you going to nod your head up and down or not? Now, just don't move, Brother Ralph. Don't move, man. Don't move. Stand. Just make yourself a statue now, man. I mean, he can't afford to say nothing, but I can. And I ain't trying to stir up no trouble. You know, it's a sight what you can get into quoting facts like this. I mean it now. And I got the greatest respect for women. And I tell you, all bad and all good comes from women. So that ought to even up pretty good, you sisters. That ought to be for me now. If you ain't doing nothing bad, and I say all bad and all good comes from women, then if you ain't doing nothing bad, man, you ought to be on my side.
Amen.
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 Black preacher down in Texas years ago, a fellow's talking to him, and he said, how come you not a Methodist? And this old black man said, do you read the Bible, sir? He said, Yes, I read the Bible. He said, you do read the Bible? Yes, I read the Bible. He said, in your reading of the Word, have you ever run across John the Methodist? He said, no, I've not. He said, I got the Bible on my side. Amen. And so if all good comes from women and all bad comes from women. Now, I don't mean that in the absolute sense. I'm not God. I've just had some experience. I said, I've just had some experience.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me or not? Come on. Come on, smile, sister. If you don't, I'm going to know you one up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. See, women can, you know the man, he comes in all tired. Say, I'm getting famous. Always wanted to be. And I've made it and don't hardly nobody believe it. But anyway. Woo! Hallelujah. A brother told me last night, I preached on the home up at the Verona, and he said, Brother Cox, we made a bunch of tapes, we scattered them, people said, I want that. They heard about it, said they're playing that thing all over the country now, always wanting to be famous. And I finally reached it. I know the home people don't believe it. I know that. Amen. But I finally got famous. They're listening to that tape. Amen. Come here now. You may think I'm on the wrong track, but I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back now. Mary was such a good woman that it shocked her to think of something like that. Now we got Jesus working. He's 12 years old now. He's astounded him in the temple. He's 30 years old now. He's gone out preaching. And man, I'm telling you, when he started his ministry, there ain't never been nothing like it. I mean, tell you, do you realize when you talk and you deal with Jesus, that you're dealing with a person that everything he ever said is Scripture? Even when he talked in a casual conversation, it was divine. Even when he went home with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and when he was with the crowds of people, and when he was in private, everything he ever said was divine. Never a wasted word, never an idle word, never a joke. Now, that's why I get so excited and uptight about stuff. Is I'm not much, and I know it, but I see that. And no wonder they said the things about him that they said. John Paul Richter said of Jesus that he was the holiest among the mighty, and the mightiest among the holy. Praise God. Jesus was fearless in the presence of wrong. He pitied the sinner and had sympathy for the sorrowful. He had utter trust in divine goodness. He taught a religion by being a religion. One man said,
I won't overread here. I'll get right back to my main thought. As we study the Gospels, we carry away the impression of a character of incomparable grandeur and loveliness, of a life and death that compels our homage and admiration as does no other. Hallelujah. No wonder when Emerson, I think it was, making a speech and come across and he said that the world will always reverence and respect Jesus, and he named off Sakyamuni, Socrates, Confucius, and I don't know how many more, and said the world will always revere Jesus and his peers. And there was a young preacher back in the gallery, way back, and he come out of there, and he told them later on, he said, I felt something move on me. He said, I felt so disgusted, and I wanted to rise up, and all of a sudden he jumped to his feet and hollered to the top of his voice, and every head turned toward him. His name was Ormiston, and he later became the pastor of the big church there in that city. And when Emerson, I think it was, said that, he leaped to his feet and hollered as loud as he could, my master has no peers. There's not anybody on the level. There's not anybody to compare, amen, to a man like that. No wonder Charles Lamb said, if Shakespeare was to come in here, we'd everyone, a meeting of famous poets, we would everyone stand up if Shakespeare came in here because of who Shakespeare was. He knew 5,000 words and was even permitted to invent new words when the average vocabulary of people at that day was 400 words. And he said if Shakespeare would come in here, we'd all stand up. But if Jesus was to come in here, we'd everyone get on our face. Every one of us. There is nobody. Now I'm going to get to my main thing here in a little bit. Praise God. Pray, brethren. Hallelujah. I said we've never dealt with. And let me tell you something. Did you know that Jesus came into this world to die? And did you know that when Jesus came into this world, of all the hellish plots that the devil ever thought up, I don't know how much the devil knows. He probably doesn't know as much as people think that he does. They give him more credit. Some people almost have a fellowship meeting with him, the way they talk about him so much. One preacher got discouraged and was fussing going down the road up at Bartlesville years ago and telling how bad it was and everything. And he said, the devil is giving me trouble here and here and here. And he got mad at his wife and disgusted with her, said, don't you ever have no trouble like that? And she said, no. And he said, but I don't understand that. I do. And she said, maybe you're living closer to him than what I am. Women are just naturally smarter about some things than men are. They really are. You didn't quit me a while ago, did you, ladies? Amen. Just because I told a little fact there. Praise God. Don't get upset at facts like that. But the devil, if there's any one thing that the devil ever zeroed in on, it was if I, some way he tried, I don't know how many times he tried to destroy Jesus. I had the Sunday school class back when I used to teach for many years at the church. I had them one time check and see how many places they could find in the Gospels where the devil tried to destroy the Messiah. Now listen, on the ark, the messianic seed was there. Yes, sir. In Abraham was a messianic seed. In the Jewish race, Hitler tried to kill every Jew in the world. Would have killed them all if he could have. You just as well try to kill God as to kill every Jew. You just as well try to kill God, shoot the moon down with a shotgun, as to try to kill every Jew. And the devil, in his in his stupid mind, in his hellish, prideful mind. You know, the devil is so disobedient, so bent on evil, looked like if he'd just read, if he knew all that, just because he quoted the Bible to Jesus, he messed up on that. Yes, he did. I said he messed up on that. If you want to take, if we got any snake handlers here, I hope we don't, but if we have, I want to tell you something. If you're so bent and so hooked up and hung up and dyed in the wool, thinking because the Bible says they'll take up serpents, bless God, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of difference in taking up something than there is in hunting it up. I don't care what you got to say about it. It ain't nothing but a bunch of nonsense. I'd as soon lay down on a railroad track when a train is coming as I would to go to handling snakes. I don't care what you do. Amen. What you got to say about it. I don't care if you're here. The Bible does not back up any such nonsense. It's not in the book of Acts. You said Paul got bit by this, but he didn't go out there and catch him and put him in a cage and bring him to church. It ain't nothing but a bunch of crazy stuff is all it is. You say, well, I'll have you know they're saved. I ain't got time to decide that. I'll let God, since I got this sneaking feeling that he's going to decide it anyway. Drinking poison. And just every once in a while, some of them drink poison and die, and they say he didn't have no faith. Faith didn't have nothing to do with it. Bless God, it's arrogated, fertilized, cultivated stupidity is what it is. Anybody ain't got no more brains than to drink strychnine, it's just dumb. Turn this one back on, son. I'm going to stay right here. Amen. I ain't afraid to get out there, but I'm going to stay right here because I got some business right here. If you really believe that, and I didn't know I'd cover this so nicely, this quick, with all these manners I've got about it. I always have had such a, you know, delicate finesse about me on presenting things like this. My wife said, honey, don't call people stupid. I said, I wouldn't use that word. There wasn't so many stupid people in the world. I went to using the word fascist for a while, but it just didn't seem to hook. So I went back to stupid. And the reason I did is because fascist means stupid. And if you're so hung up on that, and you think, yes, bless God, we are snake handlers. We believe it's God's will to handle snakes and drink poison. And we got people that believe you ought to just set in a house and not even get in a hole or nothing during a tornado. One old man sat on the porch. A friend of mine was telling me about it. He said, God will keep me. And the old neighbor said, he'll wrap you around one of them saplings down that valley. What he'll do to you? You may say, well, God's kept me all these years. He's kept a lot of people. He's kept the people that died from drinking poison for several years, too. The devil got that scripture out of Psalm 91, and I want to give you a little tip here. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest that thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus knew better than that. He believed the Bible, but he knew better than that. And he wasn't going to do that. You don't jump off of mountains and holler, God will hit me and I'll fly. You say he could have. Yes, I know he could have. He could turn the whole desert into bread, too. Sure he can. Jerk up sycamore trees and sling mountains from out in ocean if he took a notion. But Jesus is not down here acting silly. Everything he did made sense. And if you're so hung up on that, why don't you do the next verse then? If you believe in drinking poison and handling snakes and going out in the woods and catching them and bringing them into the church and doing it and just making nothing in the world but a bunch of foolishness, and that's all, nearly all they believe in. Some people act like they went to a school where they taught absolute idiocy. And they graduated out of there with the highest honor that could be graduated with. If you'd meet one of them and ask them, say, How did you do in school? I said, done well, done well. I come out of there a pure, thoroughbred, 100% fool. Why don't you do the rest of it? You say you're into something, Cox. I've been in something before. Why don't you take this next verse then, if you're going to take that and say it's all right to do all that? Thou shalt tread up on the lion. Go to the zoo. Boo. Go to the zoo. And get right up in the cage with the lion and holler boo. And he'll say, who's who? I want you. Did you hear me, as they say in the South? Do you hear now? Did you get it? Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Hunt one up. Go down there and pull his whiskers through the bars and see if he likes it or not. Stick your hand in there and pet it. One guy went to the zoo one time and had a lamb.